Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Lots to discuss this morning. Some Ole Gunnar Solskjaer quotes straight after the game talking about injuries and also on David De Gea, which I think will be quite interesting. Potentially a big payout in relation to De Gea. But also interesting things around transfers. Icardi to Manchester United as a replacement for Cavani from Italian reports. We'll talk about that. Also potentially Bissouma, the latest on Anthony Martial. We've also got injury updates, as I said. But I just want to say three things in relation to the game last night before we talk about De Gea and the transfer stuff. First of all, I just want to say big shout out to anybody who sort of has had an open mind in relation to Donny van de Beek. I think that there is this thing, I don't even know what to give it the word to, there is this thing around Donny van de Beek, almost a cult, not Donny van de Beek himself, but within the Man United fan base, that he's a number 10 and he's nothing else, and he can't play anywhere else. And for me and those people who've been quite open-minded about the talent that we have with Donny van de Beek, that he actually is good at passing, he can tackle, he's very good at pressing, he's very energetic. There are those of us that believe that Donny van de Beek should have had more game time because he can play in numerous positions. Of course, our number 10 is going to be Bruno, but he could have played in the pivot more, and he definitely could have played off one of the wings more as a tucked-in midfielder. And what is mainly the thing that we've been saying for a very long time is that Donny van de Beek needs to be on the same pitch as Bruno Fernandes. We saw it against Newcastle back in October where he came on and we took the game away. And I think we saw it again yesterday. Bruno and Donny on the same pitch. And by virtue, also Paul Pogba, Manchester United are a better team. And I'm not saying that, look, there's all sorts of theories that Donny van de Beek came on and changed the game. I think you could say Dan James changed the game as much as Donny van de Beek did. But what Donny van de Beek has done in his last two games, without touching the ball, he's created two goals. His movement in the penalty box created the goal against Leicester, and his movement in the penalty box again against Brighton created the goal for Mason Greenwood. So he makes things happen in and around the box that others don't. And that's with Bruno and Pogba on the pitch. And I think Ollie's been proved wrong there. And some of our fans have been proved wrong. Donny van de Beek needs to be on the same pitch as Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba. And the only way we're going to do that is by being a little bit more imaginative than Donny can't play unless Bruno's injured, which seems to be the plan for the season. But it doesn't work. You get your best players on the pitch. I think United look a very different team when we've got Donny van de Beek on the same pitch as Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba. And I want to see more of that. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened enough. And that's going to mean a little bit of interchanging. I think Donny probably ended up more as the number 10 last night when he came on. And Bruno went a little bit to probably the left and with Dan James to the right, which is fine because they interchange. We've got to think like that. You know, sometimes you might want to play a false nine, which might be a bit of a stretch for Ollie, but we'll see about that. Also, I just want to say as well, Eric Bailly's got coronavirus, so we wish him all the best in recovering from that. That explains why he didn't play yesterday. But I would also say, to me, it's very obvious now. I saw Marcus Rashford's management on Twitter a few days ago saying that Marcus Rashford's been carrying niggles for two years now. This is very, very clear. I'm a big fan of Marcus Rashford. It is very, very clear he's playing injured. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said he took a knock and he had to come off. It looks suspiciously like a similar knock to the one he had before the international break. He's either ridiculously unlucky or his ankle isn't right in the first place. I think Marcus Rashford's injured and we are not seeing the best of him because of that. I think he's carrying too many injuries and he's playing too many games. And I think Victor Lindelof's injured as well. I think we've got two players in our first 11 that are injured and they're playing through the pain barrier and it's affecting their performances. And that's just my theory. But to me, I don't think Lindelof looks right and I don't think Rashford looks right. And it's that risk against reward, isn't it? They risk themselves, they put their body on the line for the manager and the team and the fans, but then they get berated by the fans when they don't play particularly well. So, you know, are LVG and Munio bad coaches or are we a bad club, says Tom. I don't really know what that's got to do with Tom. But look, I want to talk about De Gea, I want to talk about the transfer stuff. In relation to the result last night, you take the 3 points, you move on. It's a very good 3 points. There's lots of stuff this morning about how many times we've come back from behind. You know what? My thing I would say is, we are very, very similar to Jose Mourinho 3 years ago. We're going to get second place. I firmly believe that. We're going to get more points than we got last year. But I feel that, you know, I know we've got this new sponsor on the shirt. I feel it should be Red Bull. We're Energy Drink FC. We are out of ideas and we're out of energy. And then we have a half-time break. We get the Red Bull in us. And second half, we get a boost and we get the results. We're coming from behind a lot. We're winning games by one goal a lot. We're hanging on, getting a little bit lucky sometimes. Maybe Welbeck should have scored, you know, blocks, this, that and the other. We're Red Bull FC. We're Energy Drink FC. And it's not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. It's like, I just feel that United are a little bit like, you know, the family that go and live in a bunker, and they've got loads and loads of canned fruit and canned meat, but eventually it's going to run out. And it's great while it lasts, and you're like, up yours, everybody else who's, you know, not in our bunker, but eventually this is not sustainable. Something's got to happen. We've got to come out that bunker and create our own food, or we're going to run out of food and we're going to run out of energy. And I think that it's fantastic what we're doing at the moment, and I think patience is required. We're going to get second. I hope we're going to win the Europa League, and then the summer's going to be massive, and then next season's going to be massive. But the way we're playing at the moment, it's not sustainable. You can't keep... I do applaud it, but you can't live off that. That's not... You know, we talk about progression, we talk about optimism, we talk about title races. The form we're playing and the way we're winning games is not title-winning form. Unless, you know, Man City don't exist, you're grinding out a title. But we live in a world where Man City do exist. We live in a world where Liverpool and Man City recently did go for 100 points neck and neck and won, like, so many games in a row. This way we're playing is not sustainable. You can't be second half FC. You can't be grind it out FC. And next season, I think we're going to come unstuck unless he starts playing a better brand of football. But that's for next season. I think you take the 3 points and you move on. Watford wanted to ask a question that was asked on the show last night. Who is your player of the year, Bruno or Shaw? Says Salah Ahmed. It's Bruno for me, because I think Luke Shaw has been absolutely fantastic, and I get why people would say Luke Shaw is a player of the year. I totally get that. And as somebody who's been a strong advocate of Luke Shaw, even, you know, for years when people were saying he was trash, I knew he was a good player. And I think in any other season, he probably would win player of the year. But even last night, Bruno Fernandes didn't play particularly well, but the weight of that pass, which basically hands Rashford a goal, I mean, he's got to finish it, but the weight of the pass... Bruno Fernandes is the reason we are where we are. Has he been brilliant since Christmas? No. But has he contributed? Yes. Did he contribute in 2020? 100%. Bruno Fernandes is why we are here. Goals get you points. And Bruno is the reason that we're there. So it would be Bruno for me. Anyway, let's move into the news. There was some comments last night around David De Gea for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He said that there will be stories about De Gea and Henderson. It'll be in the papers and it'll be fish and chip paper, which is a bit dismissive from Solskjaer, to be honest with you. Describing it as fish and chip paper is basically saying it'll be tomorrow's news and then it'll be forgotten by Tuesday. That totally underestimates the situation with David De Gea by Ollie. I think that, look, I'm not going to change my mind on this. I haven't woken up in a better mood around how David De Gea has been treated. Lots of people disagree with what I say. Absolutely fine. Not got a problem with it, but my mind's not changed. I've seen people backing what I said yesterday. I've seen some people saying, this bloke's a bloody negative, destroying the fan base, dividing the fan base. I'm sorry. My opinion that the way David De Gea has been treated doesn't sit right with me is not dividing the fan base. The fan base was divided the minute the media started pushing this 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. So don't blame United fans for reacting to De Gea being dropped as dividing the fan base. The fan base has been divided for weeks. I've told you about this. I've said this. The media have created the division between Henderson and De Gea, and the fan base divided. So that was already happening. What happened yesterday is a goalkeeper was dropped incorrectly, unfairly, and from a poor business standpoint. And that's what I feel. So I think when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says it'll be fish and chip paper, I'm not going to forget about this. I still think it's a very bad decision. So what he also said is that David De Gea will play for Manchester United again, and that it's very difficult when you've got two first choice goalkeepers and it's about how you fit them in. Well, you know, again, that's a decision that you made in the summer last year that many people said was a bad decision. And it's coming back to haunt you. You know, you've got two very good goalkeepers. We're paying over £500,000 a week for those goalkeepers. It was always going to end in tears. Now, there was a story yesterday, which a part of it that I missed. Your analogies are Luke Shaw, like Luke Shaw this season. Perfect, says Jacob Horner. And hi, Mark. How you doing? Do you think with this huge playout, do you think De Gea will stay or go? Says Sean Falvey. Well, look. The thing that's coming out now around David De Gea is, interestingly, there's nothing coming out about any clubs being interested. I'm sure that will come out in the next day or so. But what is generally out there is that Manchester United are willing to make a big payoff to remove David De Gea from Manchester United, which I think is idiotic, disrespectful, and wrong. But for a football club that has spent a lot of time in the last 18 months telling us about how COVID will affect our transfer activity, how can you justify paying off David De Gea when we need to invest in our squad? And how is it justifiable to write off £30 million? Because that's what it's going to cost. I think people just look at the situation and go, I like this goalkeeper better than that goalkeeper, let's get rid of that goalkeeper. But that goalkeeper, David De Gea, will cost you in wages from this point between 30 and 40 million pounds, because that's how much wages he's got left on his contract. 350k a week for 2 and a bit years. It's around 30 to 40 million pounds. Now, as a value, he's worth about 30 to 40 million pounds as a goalkeeper, probably more. I mean, it amazes me that people think he's 40 and not 30. Like, he's still a very, very good goalkeeper. So Manchester United have created a situation of their own making, which is absolutely ridiculous. The minute they went into this season, this was always going to happen. They are going to cost themselves tens of millions of pounds because of this David De Gea decision, which is fine. People will say, well, that's fine, just get rid of him. Just get him off the wage bill. But it's not. You don't get him off the wage bill. You create a huge wage bill for yourself to do it. So, you know, if it's going to cost us 30 million to get David De Gea out of the club one way or another, that's 30 million that could have been going on a centre back. It could have been going towards a midfielder. So it's going to cost us, not just because we're going to have to pay him off, but also because it's going to lose us money to improve the team. They've messed this up big time. They've handled it badly. And look, unless Ollie picks him in the Europa League on Thursday, I just think this is going to be a big, big issue. And I think Rio Ferdinand was right that, you know, David De Gea will have to leave of his own volition now. I'm so sad, disappointed David dropped. He stuck with us and saved us through the tough times. Hendo not proved in front of Old Trafford fans, says John O'Neill. I've got nothing against Dean Henderson. I think he looked a little bit shaky last night, but that's not, you know, I'm sure he'll be fine. It's nothing to do with that. I just think the way that we've handled it yet again as a business, we've been foolish. And I think on the goalkeeper situation, we mustn't forget Romero. Romero's been a great servant to this football club as well. I know many of you like Sergio Romero. The way he's been treated over the last year is shocking. There was a lot of unrest in the dressing room at the start of last season about the way Romero was treated. He wanted to go. The club wouldn't let him go. They've not played him at all. He's cost us £80,000 a week for 12 months. He's not played any football. That contributes to what? £4 million? £4 million that, you know, could have been going towards something else. So again, the football club has handled something very badly, and I don't know why they keep doing this. The competence in that board is a joke. They don't seem to understand the difference between balance sheets and actual players' emotions and what they've done for this club. And I think Sergio Romero played in goal for the Europa League final. Sergio Romero was always a decent backup goalkeeper. He doesn't deserve to have his time at United end like that. And now we're going to do the same thing potentially with an even bigger United great. We let Herrera walk out the door. There doesn't seem to be any respect for these players from the club. They just seem to see them as commodities. And we as fans are never going to do that. So when people have a go at me and others for saying we're not happy about what's happened with David De Gea, well, look, that's coming from a place of loyalty and care for the football club. It's not coming from a business side. It's coming from loyalty. And you might be in that position in 10 years' time when we bring another young goalkeeper in and you want to get rid of Dean Henderson in his prime. And you might be going, don't do it to Dean. Don't do it to Dean. So it's just a different way, isn't it? If De Gea is to leave, I wonder if Real Madrid are interested. And if so, have they fixed their IT system after last time, says Marcus Wynn. I think Real Madrid would love to sign David De Gea. I think they would, but I don't think they're going to have the funds to do it because they're trying to do other things around Erling Haaland, aren't they? So, I mean, I don't know whether, just very, very quickly on Erling Haaland, I don't know whether anybody saw this yesterday. It's been leaked out from Barcelona because Barcelona had the chat with Erling Haaland last week that whilst it will probably cost about 150 million to buy Erling Haaland, you've got to give Raiola 20 million and Erling Haaland's dad 20 million. I mean, you know, the money here is ridiculous. But look, I saw it in the Manchester Evening News this morning talking about Haaland still should be the priority and he is United's priority. I mean, maybe we should get some of these journalists to just run the team because a lot of what they're saying at the moment seems to come to pass. You know, this obsession with Erling Haaland from so-called football journalists to really, to me, I don't think they've got much of a clue of what's going on at this football club. They must sit there watching it with blood, thinking about what they're having for tea, humming a tune to the Bee Gees or something. I just don't know what they see. I don't know what they see when they're watching football games other than their own agendas, because Erling Haaland yesterday scores the goal Greenwood scores. That's it. There's nothing else happened. I thought the game yesterday was indicative of probably 75% of our season. You could take that game against Brighton yesterday and just run it through the system 25 times and say that's been United this season. Getting the win by one goal, deserving the win, but the football's not that great and the service is terrible. Somebody was saying yesterday, and you lot know more than me, that I think in the league since Christmas, Rashford and Greenwood have hardly scored any goals. I think it's under five goals between the two of them. And they were saying that's not good enough. And, you know, I think Ricky was... We've got the 8 o'clock show tonight, so it'll be Ricky and Jay and everyone looking forward to that. But Ricky was saying, you know, I've got people messaging me saying, look, Greenwood's the man. And, you know, he's only scored two goals since Christmas. But, you know, I'd say to Ricky and anybody, this is the whole problem with the Haaland deal. People go, oh, our strikers don't score enough goals. What are you doing? You know, are you listening to the Bee Gees as well? You know, it's staying alive is the song I'm trying to get in your head. Because we are staying alive. We're ha, 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 staying alive, staying alive. We are staying alive. We're second in the league, but we're not living. We're staying alive, but we're not living the United way. We're not creating enough chances. We're just staying alive, and it's not sustainable. You've got to go out there and live. And that's the analogy I would use. We've got to go out there and live as a football club. We've got to breathe Manchester United and breathe some life into that air, because we're living. We're staying alive. We're not living as a team at the moment. And Greenwood's only got a couple of goals this year, if that's how many he's got. And Rashford's not scored many goals this year. And Cavani's not scored many goals this year. Because we're not providing them with the service. Yesterday, there was one chance and Greenwood took it. We didn't create anything for Cavani. So all this Haaland obsession, United have got to go and get Haaland. They've got to spend the money on Haaland. They've got to bankrupt themselves for Haaland. He's the man that's going to make United great again. Do you watch football? Or do you just sit there typing away, not looking up, looking at the stats of Haaland and thinking we're second? If you add those goals into second place, they win the title. Solskjaer has got to sign Erling Haaland. He is the answer and nothing else. Bollocks. I'm sorry. You're not watching the games. You're not watching Man United. Erling Haaland is one of the world's best strikers, but we have got good strikers that we don't provide service to. And until we get Van der Beek and Bruno and Pogba on the same team, and we get a centre-back that is competent next to Maguire, then we don't need Erling Haaland. We need to build a bloody team. We need a CDM, a centre-back, and we need to get Van der Beek, Pogba and Bruno on the team more. Then you can get a striker. Then you'll see a striker flourish at United. But I personally think, and I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it, I see in Mason Greenwood a striker that means we don't need Erling Haaland, a striker that we don't need Mbappe. Now, that's very big talk, and people will probably clip it and say, look at this idiot. But I'm telling you now, I've seen enough in Mason Greenwood that he will be the number nine that people are going, wow, wow. We don't need Harry Kane. We don't need Erling Haaland. We've got Mason Greenwood. He's 19 years of age, and I've seen over the last few months the way his body shape is changing, the way he physically holds people off. In the next 2 years, he's going to get better and better and better. And if you give him the chances, he will score you 30 goals in a season. He's a number nine. He's not a winger. And he's growing. And he's going to get better and better and better. You build your team around Mason Greenwood as a number nine. And you build your team. You get a centre-back next to Maguire. I thought Maguire did well last night. I did. He was at fault if Welbeck scored, and he should have done. But that's one mistake. I think Lindelof and Maguire looked exposed yesterday because we played a little bit away from them. It wasn't McTominay and Fred bubble wrapping them. It was Pogba and Fred trying to be a little bit more expansive. And it exposed Lindelof and Maguire on the break. That's why you need a quick centre-back next to Maguire. We need a better player to play where Fred plays. And we need to get Van der Beek into that team with Bruno and Pogba. And we'll see a better United. And I'm more than happy to have Mason Greenwood at number nine. Potential swap deals between Alex Telles and Sporting's left-back super talent Nuno Mendes from Portugal's Retro. Yeah, a load of crap, Nicholas. Load of crap. I didn't talk about it because it's a load of crap, to be honest with you. But look, I believe in Mason Greenwood. I believe in Marcus Rashford. I believe in Van der Beek. I believe in Bruno. I believe in Diallo. I think we've got players in the attacking positions that will be absolutely good enough if we build the areas that we need to build. And I feel that the game yesterday against Brighton, you could times that by 25 and you would know that's how we've got where we are this season. Grinding it out, not playing particularly well, and definitely 100% vulnerable at the back, and definitely 100% not creating enough chances for our strikers. And I include Rashford, Greenwood and Cavani in that. Our front three get no bloody service because we move the ball too slow. The changes need to be, you create chances. The goal that Bruno scores, as I said last night, is because Brighton are stretched and he plays it perfectly into Rashford and he scores. That comes from Brighton making a mistake. We don't stretch the opposition. If you give Bruno the ball when the defence is stretched, he'll create goals. So will Pogba. But we don't do that. That's nothing to do with Erling Haaland or the number nine. That's because your back two and your CDM don't move the ball quick enough to the attackers. And by the time the attackers get the ball, the opposition is set. We've been talking about this for months. United will score more goals with a better centre-back and a better CDM. And people go, what's this
nonsense? You don't know ball. What's he talking about? He knows nothing. But you don't score more goals by buying a centre-back and a CDM. You buy more goals by buying Erling Haaland.
But you don't know football. You don't watch football. Because most good teams score goals because the defence of the opposition is stretched and can't get themselves sorted. We don't score goals because when we play an opposition, they get back into position all the time because the ball doesn't move quickly from back to front. It's so simple. We don't move the ball efficiently from back to front quick enough, and therefore we don't create chances because the opposition is always well organised. Mark, I think a centre-back like Varane and a CDM like Rice and another attacking midfielder like Grealish would completely change the team. I wouldn't even get Grealish, Vincent. I think that those two players you've said would do it. What's really going on with Twansebi, says AJ. Look, I can't talk to you about Twansebi. Thanks for the contribution, Ernesto. I can talk to you about Twansebi, but I can't really understand it. I mean, Lindelof isn't fit. And he still doesn't pick Twansebi. And also, Wan-Bissaka's been a bit, let's be honest, poor recently. And he still doesn't pick Twansebi or Williams. I mean, if I'm Twansebi and Williams, youth products of Manchester United, I'm handing in my transfer request. I'm sorry, I am. At the minimum, I'm asking for a season-long loan because wasted season for two young players. Brandon Williams came into this United side over a year ago and looked promising. He's wasted a year at United. Twansebi came into this team at the start of the season against Mbappe and Neymar. He's wasted a year. Those two lads have lost a year of their career. It doesn't get spoken about because we're second in the league. Two youth products have lost a year of their career at key years in their career. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. Not acceptable when the positions that they play have not played well. Twansebi, Lindelof has not played well for most of the season. Aaron Wan-Bissaka not played well for most of the season. And Williams and Twansebi have barely played. They've lost a year of their career. For what? You know, I don't get it. Unless there's something going on behind the scenes, those two lads could have been on loan, getting football, progressing their career. They've sat on the bench. They've sat in the reserves. They've not played it hardly at all. Waste of a year at key time. Look, it's bad enough if you lose a year in your early 20s, late teens because of an injury. It's even worse when you lose a year because you're not playing football. These are key years. Look at what Garner's doing. Next year, he needs to play. Completely agree with the Mason thing, Mark. I think Ollie struggles to trust him, but I fully trust him. He knows the mentality of the club. And thanks for the sticker there from Sean Falvey. And also, I think Greenwood is the only number nine who makes chances himself at the minute. Good for a number 19-year-old. He can only get better. And Thomas Bennett's actually spot on there. I mean, look, nobody will be old enough to remember Stan Collymore. But Stan Collymore, when he first sort of broke through, was a striker that obviously thrived on scoring goals, but he could create chances off his own back. Greenwood's very like that. I'm not comparing Greenwood to Stan Collymore at all. Although in some ways, I mean, look, I'm having to go through history myself here, but there are similarities in the fact that Mason Greenwood can create things out of himself, which is not normal for a number nine. So that is a real thing. But just interestingly as well, I just want to bring this in as well. James Garner, fantastic. I spoke about him on the Saturday show. Not going to be ready for United next season. I don't think he is. He needs to go on loan. Brighton have already been mentioned about a club that would like James Garner. Bissouma, to me, is the player United need to sign. Like, if you're not going to get Declan Rice, sign Bissouma. I'm happy with that. He's going to be half the price of Declan Rice as well. Go and get Bissouma. But even better, how many things are falling into place for United? If you want Declan Rice, West Ham want Jesse Lingard. If Juventus want Paul Pogba, you know, all right, it's very fanciful, but Ronaldo, you know. But what about this? If Brighton want Garner and Garner's agent says Brighton does, surely there's something we can do with Garner and Bissouma and say, we'll give you Garner on loan for a year if you give us Bissouma for 5 million less. It would be perfect. Absolutely perfect. And look, I'm glad that so many of you have spoken about Bissouma in the live chat on this channel for weeks, probably months now. We've been talking about Bissouma, and I think the general consensus about Bissouma is, hey, you know what? He looks good. Can he make the step up? But he looks good. He's playing Premier League football. You know, he could be the CDM that United need. I think last night we saw he definitely can. But what I like is we're not reacting to one performance. He's been mentioned on this show for months. And last night, he was man of the match. I thought he was man of the match, like, off across both teams. So I'd be very happy to take him. He's exactly the right age. I think he's 24, 25. He's Premier League proven. He's played, you know, it's hard to play for Brighton against, you know, good sides. But Brighton actually play good football. I've heard people say, oh, let's get Sander Berg from Sheffield United. Sheffield United play shit football and they're going to get relegated. Brighton give teams like Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, they give you a game. They play football. Potter's a good coach. So you're buying a player who's technically used to playing good football as well. He's not coming in from a shit team where he's done well. He's coming in from they're not doing fantastically well in the league, Brighton, but he's well versed in playing, you know, 1-2 touch football, positionally drilled. I think Bissouma would be a fantastic signing for Manchester United. Are we going to be looking at him? Probably not. He's only got 2 years left on his contract. I think it's a perfect signing for United. Absolutely perfect. And, you know, if Fred played well yesterday, and I thought Fred played well yesterday, it's like, I would feel that if you think Fred played well yesterday, it's like Mark Noble playing well compared to Verratti playing well. I thought that Bissouma was on a different level to Fred. And Fred wasn't bad last night. I think I gave him a 6. He wasn't bad. But Bissouma was just way better than him. He's 10 times better than Rice, says Gareth. Well, you know, there is a conversation there. You know, some people probably would say Bissouma over Rice. I'd still prefer Rice, but I'd be... The key is get one of them. Get one of them. Sean from Ireland says Twan Sebi's wasted 2 years. He needs to go. And if we get second place and Bruno Fernandes is our player of the season, do you think he's going to be Premier League player of the year? And if not, who would you think could win it, says Ernesto. I mean, Premier League Player of the Year could be a Man City player. It could be Salah. It could be Kane. It could be Diaz at City. It could be Gundogan at City. Grealish is an outsider. I don't see it coming from anybody else. Mason is like Van P at right wing. Play the same team again, says Daniel Raj. Camagolo says, I like Rice. He's a beast. There is another story coming in about Icardi from PSG to Manchester United. Now, I'm going to have to bow down to the live comments here. I don't keep an eye on the French league. I mean, it's crap. So the only time I really see Icardi is when he's playing in the Champions League. And I haven't seen a lot of what PSG are doing this year. So I don't know what Icardi's form is. But there's talk in Italy that United will go for Icardi to replace Cavani. I don't see that happening for many reasons. I've always been a big fan of Icardi. I wanted United to go for Icardi probably 3 or 4 years ago. There'll be shows I've done on this channel if you search them talking about Icardi. I like him. I think he'd do a good job for United. But I don't think United would go anywhere near him. I don't think Solskjaer would want that type of a character at the club. And I say that type of character. The last time I checked, his wife's his agent. He's very tempestuous. I mean, he was a leader at Inter Milan. And, you know, I mean, at PSG, has he done a bad job? I mean, they've got so many good players. I don't see United doing this deal. It'd be a very interesting deal to do. I mean, I still don't think he's particularly old. I still think he's sort of mid-late 20s, isn't he? So, yeah, it'd be very, very interesting, but I don't see United doing it, to be honest with you. Ollie plays a style of football purely based around keeping him in his job. He sets up safe in order to do enough to keep his job, says Trishan. Lots of people saying that no to Icardi. No, thank you, says Jay. Personally would not want him, says Susan Brandon. No, Icardi. He stole his friend's wife, Mark, says Annie Broke. Yeah, but we've had United greats who've done worse than that. So I don't think we can... You can't not buy a striker because he took someone else's wife in his private life. That's not going to stop him scoring penalties. He's not going to be texting her before he does it. Haaland don't have a choice to select... I mean, that sort of makes me think, I don't want Icardi at the... it's Bob and Pam from the Stretford end. I don't want Icardi at United because You know, I'm going to be there trying to watch United winning, and I'm going to keep an eye on Icardi. You know, is he eyeing up Pam? He stole one wife. He'll be taking Pam from the Stretford end. So I don't think we need to worry too much about what Icardi's done in his private life in relation to who his wife is. Might be more relevant that his wife's his agent, and he has had issues as Inter and apparently PSG. But Solskjaer won't go for a player like that. He won't go for that. Mark, Haaland don't have choice to select the club. No passion, no dream playing for club anyway. Totally controlled by his agent. Don't need anyone near Manchester United, says Vishal. And honestly, if Ollie was somehow sacked, which club, top club or any club would sign him besides maybe Mulder, Scott Parker would get a job before Ollie. Sadly, we don't have a set playing style, says Dominic Mack. I mean, I think that's a very interesting point. There are strikers out there, by the way. We've mentioned Isaac, we mentioned Silva, some people are talking about Jovic. Shanton makes a good point. Icardi is inconsistent and injury-prone, but talented. We don't need him, Mark. I can't see anything happening with Icardi, to be honest with you. Just going back to that point there, because a lot of people talk about this. Why is Solskjaer the manager of United when no other club would want him? I agree that no other club would want him, but it doesn't demean what he's done. We are second in the league. We are the best team in the league other than Manchester City. We are in a quarterfinal of the Champions League. And if he was a totally useless coach, you'd be down where Arsenal are. Like, you can have a good squad and still be 10th. So, you know, he has got us into second place. Mourinho's got a good squad. They're doing worse than us. Chelsea have got a much better squad than us. They're doing worse than us. So we have played the same amount of games as everybody. We've all played 30 games and we're 9 points clear of fourth. So you've got to put some respect on Solskjaer's name. And I've got to agree with the club that giving him a new contract is the right thing to do with 1 year left on his contract. I agree with that. Do I think he'll be in the job in a year's time? 50-50. And 50-50 is not much of a backing for Solskjaer, is it? I do back Solskjaer, as you know. I'm like, you can't sack a manager when you're second. You can't sack a manager in this situation. But you can be sceptical. You can be sceptical. And I, you know, as I said, Ollie Turkey Christmas. He might not survive Christmas like a turkey. You just don't know. But I would say is, if he goes into next season playing the same way with the same set of players, he won't last. Because one of the worst things that will happen to him is 75,000 people will be back in Old Trafford and they've got a lot of pent-up frustration and they won't want to come out of lockdown to watch that shit. And a lot of our football is very boring. Even second half yesterday, it was boring. You know, both the goals come because Brighton don't defend well. We didn't carve Brighton open once. I don't remember us causing them a problem from our play once. Apart from the two goals, which really they should have—they were self-inflicted. Lots and lots of possession. Brighton did nothing in the second half apart from the Welbeck chance. Lots and lots of possession, but boring possession. Crab football, side to side. You know, not causing problems, and that's not Manchester United. And as I said, there are so big similarities between Mourinho 3 years ago. And if I was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, or I was anybody around Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'd be warning him and saying, they're right. Look at 3 years ago. I think Ole sits there smiling, going, you know what, I'm going to get a new contract. We're second in the league, and we're in the quarterfinal of the Europa League, and I think he's happy. But there's a big warning sign, and he really needs to look at United's history. I think 3 years ago, Mourinho got 81 points. Ole's not going to get 81 points. So this second place is not better than what Mourinho did. And Mourinho got sacked 6 months later. So if I was Solskjaer, I would look at that and learn the lesson. Second place is not something that's going to get you popularity. It's going to be rewarded with a new contract and it's going to be congratulated as it should be. But it's a warning sign that if you're not playing good football and that second place is a little bit, what's the word? It's got flaws in it because of the way that we're playing. Next season's going to be a very big season for Solskjaer. He's got to get that team playing better football. Basically, he's got to take us from second and improve again. And as we've seen, since Sir Alex Ferguson's retired, nobody has been able to take us any better than second. And I'd look at what happened with Mourinho. But what I'd also say is that these people who are saying he shouldn't be in a job because no one else would take him from the job, well, who's going to take Lampard? You know, Lampard was in the Chelsea job. Who will take Arteta if he gets sacked by Arsenal? I think you're probably being a little bit unfair that this is the first big job for these coaches. And, you know, who takes any of these coaches when it doesn't work? Who took Tim Sherwood after Spurs? I think Villa gave him a chance, didn't they? Who took DiMatteo, West Brom? You know, they don't tend to go into big jobs because they're being given an opportunity. They're not like Liverpool appointing Klopp, who'd had a great career at Dortmund. They're not like Man City appointing Pep, who'd had a great career at Bayern and Barcelona. We've basically given someone an opportunity. It's their first job. So by default, I think it's unfair when people say, well, if he's such a good manager, why wouldn't anybody else want him? Because that's not the scenario we've created here. We gave somebody an opportunity that nobody would have given him an opportunity. If they fail, then what, you're back where you were at the start. No one's going to go, I want Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as my manager if Man United sack him, because we gave him the opportunity. And who would do that? Like, if I'm Bayern Munich or I'm Everton and Solskjaer gets the sack and I need a manager, I'm not going to go, let's get Ole in, because I'm going to look at the facts. Man United took a risk on him. It didn't work. He wasn't good enough. Why would we take that risk? Whereas if Klopp gets the sack from Liverpool, you go, well, he won him a title. He's already done well at Dortmund. He's got a CV. Ole hasn't got a CV. His CV is Man United. If he gets sacked by United, he won't get another job. So that's not really a stick to beat him with when we gave him the opportunity. If he fails with the opportunity, why would anyone else take him? Don't forget that Real Madrid sacked Fabio Capello when they won the league because of the boring play style, says Nicholas. It doesn't matter if we bring Icardi or Ronaldo. We have one of the best strikers in the world at the moment, but no one passes him the ball. Watch him every game. He makes amazing runs. All the team has to do is pass him the ball. Mohamed, you know, you're absolutely spot on. This obsession now that we need to sign Erling Haaland is hilarious because people actually don't watch us play football. Knowing the Glazers, they might even bring Igalo back because he's quite quitting China. I hope not, though, says Daniel Bezance. Mark, considering we aren't looking at CDM, is there an argument to get a quality centre-back and play a flat 4-3-3 with Bruno van der Beek and Pogba if he stays? You wouldn't get the defensive cover, though, Anil. And do you think Man United will get in the top four next season, says James D'Souza. I am actually going to predict top four next season because this season I said it would be a miracle. So I think you've got to go with top four next year, regardless of the transfer window. You've got to say that we're going to get top four because third last year, second this year, we've established ourselves as a top four team, even when we didn't get backed in the summer. So I predict we will get top four next season. We have to. I think we are playing a false nine, but in order to play this formation and make it crucial, we need to have amazing wingers. He has to get decent wingers, says Mohamed Al-Ghamadi. Please smash a like on the video, by the way, everybody. The 8 o'clock show tonight is going to be fantastic. We've got Jay and Beth and Ricky, and I think Kev will be on, and Flex. I think I'm popping on as well, so I'm looking forward to that. But look, all in all, it's Bank Holiday Monday in the UK. It's a good win for United. I still feel very upset about what's happened with David De Gea. I can't change that. It's human emotion. I don't like the way that that's been dealt with by Ole or the club. But, you know, I could see it coming. Bay's got COVID. Martial, I didn't mention him. There was talk he's going to be out for the season. I think he'll be back. I think Martial will be back in May. I don't think it'll be as long term as people think it will be. But ultimately, let's take the points. Very important. I mean, you know, the positive for me is that if you look at that weekend, the most important thing was to win. And I think, as many of you said, that team news came out yesterday and I went, that team should be able to play football. And a lot of people went, I don't know what you're on about. We won't play good football. And maybe that's something we need to expect for the rest of the season, that if we play football that's good, it's a bonus, because we have seen all season these grinding out wins from behind by one goal. But shouldn't we do that anyway? I mean, look at the Brighton lineup and look at the United lineup. Should we not be winning anyway? Should we be applauding coming from behind and nicking the win when we've got the players that we've got? I think we need to move on from that. We need to win games and play good football. And maybe that's not going to happen this season, but it's got to happen next season. And that is the challenge. There's no excuse why it's not happening this season, by the way. But is it going to happen this season? Probably not. But second place, looking good. Europa League quarterfinal to come. And of course, probably the most interesting thing around United at the moment, so much uncertainty around so many transfer deals. We'll just have to see what happens over the next coming days and weeks. Thanks everyone for watching. Please smash a like on the video. We'll be back live this afternoon if anything happens. But if not, 8 o'clock tonight for the 8 o'clock show. Looking forward to that. Stay safe, take care, and I'll speak to you in a bit.